Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Think Now Research Podcast. This is our monthly podcast in which we go over our most recent report. Think Now Research is a culturally integrated market research agency. We integrate Hispanic, African American, and Asian insights into custom market research for companies and government agencies looking to thrive in a changing demographic environment. You can find us on the web at thinknowresearch.com and on Twitter at thinknowtweets. My name is Mario Carrasco. I'm the co-founder and principal of Think Now, and I'm here today with the president and CEO of Second Generation Soy, Maria Tuena. Maria, you're a multicultural marketing expert, research guru. Happy to have you on the call. For listeners that may not be familiar with your background, can you give us a summary of what you did and then kind of the launch of Second Generation Soy?
Sure, thanks, and thanks for having me here. I'm honored. So I am a U.S.-born Latina, and so that makes me a second-generation immigrant, which is why the name of my firm is Second Generation Soy. I was born in Miami, raised in New Orleans, and studied psychology in undergrad, I think to better understand myself, and then I got a graduate degree in communications to communicate what I had learned. I look back on my life and I think that's what this is all about. I spent about 20 years of my career in general market advertising, and roughly 12 years ago when the internet was just starting to really take off with social networks and all that good stuff, I was working at McCann at the time, and I just did some soul searching and was trying to figure out, why am I not brand loyal? And started a practice within McCann to target U.S.-born Latinos or 1.5 generation immigrants, those kids that come at the age of 10 or less, online, because we started seeing a lot of them going online. And the reason they were going online, we had a couple of theories and a thesis that got validated in some nationwide research we did with MSN Latino, was that they went online because they didn't really see themselves above the line. The mythology that the Univisions of the world reach this bilingual, bicultural, they may reach some of them, but they don't reach all of them, because a lot of us that were raised in DMAs that aren't heavily Hispanic, our life experience is less focused on TV viewership, or at the time we didn't have access to TV viewership in Spanish, so we weren't really all being reached and touched by Spanish language programming, and we weren't reached and touched by general market programming, because though it was in English and we're all English dominant or bilingual, culturally it didn't resonate with us. So we went online at an early age when the internet and social networks took off, really because we wanted to find others like ourselves, connect with others like ourselves, create content that resonated with us and others like ourselves, et cetera. So we've seen that theory more recent years with the Arab Spring, if you will, where minorities go online to find their voice, right? So that's really my background. And I started Second Generation Soy a couple of years ago to really help brands in their efforts to drive awareness and consideration, engagement, and acquisition of the total Latinx market across acculturation levels, understanding that the Spanish dominant is different than the bilingual, bicultural consumer, sharing consumer insights with clients and helping them with judicious market planning and implementing best practices and guiding them with their online and offline media purchases, et cetera. So that's what I do today.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks so much for that background, and thank you for joining us. We've been a fan of your work from Pulpo, Entrevision. So I think you're going to have some great insights in terms of our newest report. And this month we'll be going over our Think Now Mobile report. It's a nationwide total market survey, looks at how Americans use and perceive their mobile device apps. For those of you that want to follow along in the report, feel free to pause the podcast now, head over to thinknowresearch.com and download. For those of you that are not downloading, we will do our best to explain the data that we're discussing. So let's jump to slide 6 for those of you following along. So we started out kind of getting a high level sense of smartphones versus tablet ownership and asking the total market, which of these products do you own? Of course, smartphones, almost ubiquitous in terms of adoption. You see 85% of the total market own a smartphone now. And then you break it down by generation, 85% of millennials, 86% of Gen X, 81% of boomers. And the data point that stuck out to me here is that tablet ownership is pretty strong, 57% of the total market. And then what was really interesting as we look at generationally, specifically teens, 67%. So they're over-indexing. And I had an assumption going into the research that tablet ownership was on the decline. But this is kind of showing a trend that it's actually pretty alive and well, and interestingly is resonating more with younger consumers. And any thoughts here on your end, Maria, in terms of tablet ownership in general, and then looking at teens, Asians, almost 70% of Asians when we break it out by ethnicity, Latinos at 62%. Any thoughts here in terms of what's driving this tablet ownership?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things. Obviously, tablets are mobile, and so they're easy to share. It's easier to share content with others. And I think it's fascinating the fact that Asians and Latinos have higher tablet penetration. And that I think a lot of that really has to do with the fact that if you look at multi-generational households, in this country, the groups that are driving multi-generational households and have the highest incidence of living in multi-generational households are Asians and Hispanics. So I think, it's like 29% Asians and 27 or 28% Hispanics. So it makes sense to me that if you are going to be streaming content, downloading apps, doing whatever with your tablet, and you're going to be sharing it with other family members, and to have mobility makes a lot of sense because it's easier. It's a bigger screen than a smartphone. It's lighter. In a lot of generational households, multi-generational households, pre-tablets, they have the desktop computer, and that it's harder to share information. People have to come to you. And I think that's one of, if not the paramount driver of why we're seeing a higher incidence in that group.
That's a good point, and kind of dovetails. I had a thought as well, maybe a similar thought, thinking about teens, and I was thinking about school, and now, actually today was my daughter's first day of real school. So that was she's getting into kindergarten, but, yeah. So, but, kind of on my mind and thinking about, computers now are really part of the learning experience. And I wonder, it was laptops. Well, first it was desktops, of course, right? Was first introduction into school, then laptops. And I wonder if tablets are now supplanting laptops. Part of it to your idea about mobility, right? The ability to, you could throw it in your backpack. It's like the size of a folder. You could take it home. You can share it with family members. I wonder if that's driving it as well, that tablets are essentially the new laptops or desktops even.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. It's definitely, we learn through our phones and through mobile, and it's just much easier to have a laptop. I'm sorry, to have a tablet to be able to do that. We know that there's a high incidence of laptops. Sorry again, of tablets at school. And tablet technology just makes a lot of sense because you don't sacrifice in terms of reception, and the visual experience is very rich, right? So it makes a lot of sense that this is where everything is going. I wish I would have had a tablet when I was in school. I think it would have made a huge difference, right?
I know, right? Yeah, and I actually hear that some schools are doing away with books, print books entirely. Yeah. And so now you have, essentially all of your textbooks there on your tablet, which is really cool. And this is a good segue into kind of app downloads, right? Because interestingly, apps, they're cross-platform and cross-device, and that you can have them on your mobile phones and as well as your tablets. So that's probably part of the appeal, right? You have that continuity. You don't have a different experience on the mobile phone that we're also used to in our daily lives, and then tablets. And so we wanted to delve a little bit into, how many apps are people downloading on a regular basis, and how many apps are people deleting. So this is the next slide here, slide 7. And we asked about how often do you download an app to your mobile, how often do you download an app to your mobile device, and how often do you delete apps from your mobile device? And we see some really interesting trends when we break it out by ethnicity. So if we look at downloading apps in the total market, we see about 61% of the total market downloading an app once a month or more, and about 27% once a week or more. And then if we break it out by ethnicity, we see who's driving that are Hispanics at 67%, African-Americans at 68% downloading an app once a month or more. So they're downloading more apps than, for example, whites at 60%. And Asians, interestingly, they're at the bottom at 49%. Any thoughts there in terms of why Hispanics and African-Americans are more likely to download more apps than, let's say, whites or Asians, or the total market as a whole?
Yeah, I found that data very, very interesting. I think a lot of this does go back to what we were talking about earlier, when I was giving you just a little bit about the background in terms of minorities going online to connect and to find content and create content that resonates with them. And I think apps that are useful for multicultural consumers can only be found sometimes, obviously, in certain areas that may not be, you know, discoverable to the general public right away. I think there is an inherent need with multicultural consumers to find content that resonates with them much more than general market, non-Hispanic, white consumers that have general market above the line programming targeting them all the time with easy access, right? So I think there's a lot of this shift that we saw online, the move to online from multicultural consumers because they weren't being touched above the line. We're seeing it now expressed in a lot of app downloads where people that didn't have the means to create entertainment content or et cetera years ago now do with the internet, right? So they can create content that resonates with them, and if it resonates with them, it resonates with others like them. I think that's one of the key drivers here.
That's a good point. And I wanted to just kind of say an anecdote here. You know, you were talking about having to search for that content that resonates culturally. And I, you know, in my household, I wanted, you know, my kids to, you know, Mexican recipes, right? Mexican food recipes. And my wife is Sri Lankan, and that's even tougher to find Sri Lankan recipes. Sure. But, you know, apps about making foods and recipes are huge, right? But if I download those apps, mm-hmm. I'm not getting the type of cultural food that I'm looking for, right? So I really have to dig to find those authentic recipes. And I think that points to what you're talking about. We have to do more digging. You know, I might download an app like Tasty. It's got some cool recipes, but it's not, you know, it's not, I'm looking at creating recipes that, you know, I can create that my kids know Mexican food, know Sri Lankan food. That's not in the apps that everybody's downloading. So I have to do some digging to find things like that. Is that kind of what you're alluding to?
Yeah, definitely. You know, call them long tail apps, if you will, right? But you gotta find them and then leverage them. And in the case of consumers where you have multiple generations and multiple languages being spoken in a household, again, finding that content that really resonates with those members based on demography and language and age, it's like searching for the pearl, right? It just gets a little harder. So I think that's what we're seeing here. And I think it makes perfect sense to me that those are the consumer groups that are downloading apps because, again, the general market has their above the line access to information like this.
And so I wonder, so we looked at the inverse, right? Deleting apps. And interestingly, the same trend happens. In other words, if we look at the total market, 49% of the total market are deleting apps once a month, but Hispanics are deleting more apps, almost 58% of Hispanics deleting apps at least once a month. 59%, almost 60% of African Americans deleting apps once a month. And then again, Asians less likely, 34%, and whites at 46%. I wonder if it's that same thing happening, what you're talking about, having to search for apps. Maybe it doesn't work for me. It wasn't what I thought, and deleting it. Do you think it's a similar kind of trend happening there or something else?
Yeah, I think it's some of that. And I think, to be honest, that, you know, a lot of the multicultural consumer segments, you know, they may be a little more constrained financially. So they've got to be a little more purposeful on what apps they're downloading and keeping. You know, how much space is it taking up on my device memory? I think the data consumption is an issue. If it's going to be relevant to them, it's got to match. It's got to have high utility, right? I mean, that's really like the rule of thumb with apps, right? Does it satisfy my expectations? Is it relevant to me? And then what is my experience, right? Is it working well with my internet connection? I think this is interesting with all of the recent news about Facebook and what have you. Is it sharing my information with others? Do I want my information, right?
Yeah.
And I think we tend to be a little more concerned about things like that. So I think there's a couple of things, right? I think it could be technical. It could be the utility. It could be, is Big Brother watching me? What are my, you know, what do I care about my privacy issues and what's being shared, et cetera?
And I think another thing is too, is, you know, sharing in a different sense, not sharing your data with the end company like a Facebook, but also the app has to be appropriate for everybody, right? Because this idea of sharing in a multi-generational household. So whatever you download, you know, for multicultural consumers, and actually this is leads us well to our next slide, slide 8, we actually looked at, and actually this was inspired by the work that we did several years ago together, you know, looking at sharing apps, you know, we asked the question, the past 12 months, have you downloaded an app so that you can share it and use it with other people? We also asked in the past 12 months, have you downloaded an app for someone else to use? And we see that younger users significantly more likely to download an app and share with others, or to download an app for someone else to use. And then Hispanic and African Americans more likely to download apps for this purpose compared to whites and Asians. And I know you have a lot of great ideas in terms of this idea of sharing in a multi-generational household. Can you give us kind of what you've learned? I mean, from this study and in the past, in terms of, you know, specifically Latinos, you know, sharing apps and how that plays in culturally.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I think to get to the genesis of that, it's really about the collectivity and the collective ethos within the Latino community, right? So it's if we go back to that, let's look at the similarities and the differences between the American ethos and the Hispanic ethos. So Latinos in general are always really informed by their collective ethos, meaning it's all about community and family over self. It's very community focused, and it's about relationships. Our American ethos is much more informed by the Protestant work ethic and self-reliance and independence versus the interdependence of the Latino culture. So if you look at all of the data we get from studies like this spectacular study that you did, you easily, if you put the lens of collectivism versus self-reliance, It gets you a window to open and to then explore the data with a slightly new light. So if we know that Hispanics are a collective cultures and that they tend to live in multi-generational households, or that many do, and even if they don't, they're much more interdependent and interconnected than your typical American family that expresses the self-reliance of the American ethos. All of this then makes a lot of sense, right? And the younger generation, first of all, is more tech savvy, right? They're digital natives, so it's harder for their older relatives and their grandparents to access technology. So it makes sense that they're downloading apps to share with others, because that's their role in the home, right? I mean, that's we learned in the research I did years ago that one of the things about this group, about the U.S. born Latino and the and the immigrants that came at the age of 10 or less, is that they tend to become very influential as part of their childhood. And why? It's because they're interpreting this U.S. ethos that we just talked about self-reliance for their family. They're translating the language. They're demystifying new products and services. And this all really is part of that, right? Informing brand decisions at a very early age. They're doing all of this, and they take on somewhat of an adult role in the family when it comes to these decisions. Just yet they have, you know, their role in the family as a child. So when we see things like this where they're doing this for others and they're sharing for others, a lot of it is the role that they've played as children, and that they play in their adulthood as well. It's not something you turn off when you turn 18. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. And I also want to bring up the point, you know, in terms of collectivism, we've been doing now the total market, you know, including African American and Asians for the past 4 years now. And I love to see some similarities between groups like African Americans and Hispanics, that collectivism, even though, you know, African Americans are, you know, very American, don't necessarily have parents born in another country, but they do have a distinct culture within the U.S. and they share that collectivism, which I think is
absolutely
really interesting. Even from the app perspective, I mean, the numbers are actually identical in terms of 55% of Hispanics downloaded an app to share and use with others. 55% of African Americans downloaded an app to share and use with others. And then even, you know, 32% of Hispanics downloaded apps for someone else to use, and 33% of African Americans. So I think that's really cool that, you know, when we look at things from a total market lens, these ideas like collectivism expand to other groups as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I should mention, this was a data point that came up earlier in terms of Asians and Hispanics in multi-generational households. Blacks are also very, very high, 26-27% when it comes to living in multi-generational households. So there is that collectivism inbred in the culture about the community and a community over self. So thank you for bringing that up, because that's very true.
Yeah, and we're going to do a little bit of a jump here to slide 10, and this will probably be our last slide, because believe it or not, we're almost at 30 minutes. But I wanted to talk, you know, more about this idea of what types of apps, the total market and then breaking out by ethnicity are downloading. And when we look at those types of apps, we even get more clarity on this idea about community, communication, et cetera. So we see across the board, social networking apps are the most commonly downloaded. This is for the total market. And then utilitarian apps like weather, navigation, search, and games. But when we look at apps that are specific to cultures, we see, for example, more Hispanics have communication apps. And so communication apps like WhatsApp, right? More Hispanics have communication apps than other ethnic or racial groups. So Hispanics, 64% of Hispanics are downloading communication apps versus 52% of whites, 52% of Asians, and 57% of African Americans. So African Americans are higher. I mean, I think this really kind of validates the idea about communication, right? And that being an important facet of Hispanic culture.
Oh yeah, and the collectivism. You know, I mean, it's all about the community over self, and this makes a lot of sense. And you know, I know for a fact that Hispanics share about 5 times more than non-Hispanics when it comes to social networking. So they're sharing, and again, this goes back to what we talked earlier about. Being an influencer at a very early age translates to advocacy and sharing later on in life, right? So we also know that a lot of Hispanics in this country that live in multi-generational households also have family members that live in Latin countries or in Spain. So they connect with their family via those social networks as well. And WhatsApp is extremely high among Hispanics in terms of usage. So all of this makes perfect sense under the lens of collectivism, communicating, sharing information and pictures, that are, and titles of photos that are in multiple languages and et cetera, and messages with members in their family, hence the tablet. So all of this is really tied together. And it's not a surprise, again, if you think about why this group went online originally and their role in the multi-generational household and their role as influencer and as advocate, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for bringing in your insights. I think you really helped add a lot of color to our data, and your expertise is really, really helpful here. For people, I know you're launching your website and social media. For people that want to find you or your company online, Maria, you want to go ahead and share your URL or social media handles?
And so my I'll just share my website. It's second generation, all one word, .soy, S-O-Y. And I don't want anyone to be confused with, I do not manufacture soy sauce.
It's not a bad brand extension.
This is just secondgeneration.soy, and happy to hear from you. And thanks, Mario. I really appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation and inviting me on. It was great.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Please keep an eye out for our next report coming out next month, Think Now Retail. We're going to be taking a look at the rapidly changing retail landscape from a multicultural lens. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Maria.
Adios. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.